43 times in his prophecy, Isaiah was inspired of God, the Holy Spirit, to use these three words, in that day. 43 times. He says, in that day. Isaiah's prophecy, I take it from those words being used throughout these chapters, is about that day when God, in mighty grace, comes to visit His people in saving mercy. That day when God comes to His own and makes Himself known. He refers not to some specific 24-hour day, but it refers to this gospel day in which we live and to that day in which God comes to you in mercy. Let's begin tonight by reading the 12th chapter together. Isaiah chapter 12, in that day. Now watch for those words throughout the message. In that day. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. In that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Now, let me make two or three statements by way of introduction. First, we understand. We understand by the plainest, most positive, clear revelation of Holy Scripture that salvation, the salvation of our souls, is God's eternal work. It is a work accomplished by our God from eternity on our behalf. Now, there's just no question about that fact. Long before time began, our great God in covenant mercy, in eternal counsel, purposed to have a people like Jesus Christ. God purposed to have a people, a multitude that no man can number, made up of Adam's fallen race, a people like His Son, exact replicas of His darling Son in human flesh. This is God's will. This is God's will. People often ask, what's the will of God? God's will is the salvation of His people. God's will is the salvation of His people. And that's what God is doing all the time. We tend to look at things we see and things that affect our lives, and we get excited or disappointed, we get angry or we get delighted because of things that we see, things that touch our lives. And we get all bent out of shape because of the politics of the world, because of the economy of the world, because of one thing or another. Understand this, children of God, and pray daily for grace to bow before God. God is accomplishing His will. His will is the salvation of His people. This He sovereignly worked in eternity, and this He sovereignly works, working all things after the counsel of His own will. There's no getting around this fact. Salvation is God's eternal work. Known unto the Lord are all His works from the beginning. Our God declares the end from the beginning, and then He does it. He declares the end from the beginning, and then He does it. All that He does in time, by the power of His grace, He did in eternity by the purpose of His grace in sovereign predestination. In divine predestination, the Lord God Almighty ordained everything that comes to pass in time to accomplish His will, His purpose of grace. One of these days, our Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the covenant described in Revelation 10, shall stand with one foot on the sea and one foot on the earth and declare that time shall be no more. The mystery of God is accomplished. The mystery of God. This is the mystery that unfolded in our hearts by the revelation of God's grace gives us peace to live in this world. God is saving His people. And then, when Christ comes again, there shall be a new heaven and a new earth. In that great day, the dead shall be raised to stand before God. All the elect gathered unto God, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. And all the wicked cast into hell forever. In that day, this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And we shall reign forever with Jesus Christ our Lord in His new creation. In that day, the purpose of God in election and predestination shall be fulfilled. Those whom He foreknew, though years and decades and centuries and millenniums passed, He will, at the appointed time of glory, bring into everlasting glory with Christ the Lord. Salvation is God's eternal work. It's the work of eternal, immutable, irresistible, sovereign grace. God saved me before the world was. He called me His before the world was. He accepted me in His Son before the world was. Understand that. And then understand this as well. Salvation, our Lord, in redeeming and saving His people, is performing a lifelong work of grace. Salvation is not something that just took place back yonder. Most everywhere in the religious world, men and women have been deluded into thinking that, I made a profession of faith, now I'm saved. My little boy lives like hell, but I remember when God saved him. I know He saved him. Everything's all right. That's a delusion. That's a delusion. Salvation is a lifelong work of grace. The Scriptures make this very clear. We have been saved in election, redemption, and regeneration. We are being saved in providence and preservation. And we shall yet be saved in preservation, providence, and in resurrection glory. And the apostle put it this way, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Salvation is not just a one-time experience. Salvation is the lifelong experience of God's grace. It is the lifelong outpouring of God's grace. The hand of God is on His elect from the womb to the tomb. Aren't you glad? The Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in the hearts of chosen sinners when it pleases God. And He arranges everything in the life of every chosen redeemed sinner to bring him to that point where God crosses his path, meets him in his way to hell, and stops him in his mad rush to hell and saves him by His grace. Salvation is a lifelong thing. As God said to Simeon, it can rightly be said with regard to all God's elect, He shall not see death before He has seen the Lord's Christ. And I'm content to wait for that. You who hear my voice know this well, but it needs that you be reminded of it. I will not chase ambulances. I will not try to pressure folks into making a profession of faith, young or old. I will not do anything to try to get people to profess what they do not know and have not experienced. I won't do it. I won't do it. In this place, we don't practice what folks call altar calls or invitations and such as that, trying to manipulate a crowd. And, well, we need a decision today, get folks excited, whoop, be look how many people God saved. No, sir. No, sir. I'm more concerned for God's glory, God's truth, and your soul than to deceive you in such a way. Concerning God's elect, this I know. He shall not see death till he has seen the Lord's Christ. And we will preach the gospel and wait for God to reveal his Son in his people. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Let me show you. Our Lord Jesus is speaking here in John 6, verse 37. Now watch his language. All that the Father giveth me. Oh, may God give you to Christ right now. All that the Father giveth me, present tense, in time. All that the Father giveth me in the sweet revelation of his grace. All that the Father giveth me in the experience of his grace shall come to me. If God gives you to Christ tonight, you're coming to Christ tonight. They shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to Christ, and Christ receives you, and he'll never cast you out. And the reason you come is because the Father's given you to his Son. Is that what he said? All that the Father giveth me shall, without question, without fail, at the time God gives them, come to me. And all that come to me, I will never, no never, no never, for any reason, cast out. Read on. Read on. For I am come down from heaven. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will. I told you, the will of God is the salvation of his people. This is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, at one appointed time before the world was, God gave them to his Son in covenant mercy. All that the Father hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. Look at verse 44. No man can come to me. No man can come to me. No, you can't come to Christ. No, you can't. That's not a possibility. There's no possibility that a dead sinner can come to Christ. Except. Except. Oh, thank God for the exception. Except the Father, which has sent me, draw him. Lazarus, come forth. Well, Lazarus can't come out of that grave. If he could have come out, he'd have come out 3 days earlier. Lazarus can't come out of that grave. He's dead. He's dead. Unless God brings him out of the grave. And when the Savior says, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus is somehow, mysteriously, with irresistible power, drawn out of the grave. Because now Lazarus is alive. Read this. No man can come to me. That's a matter of ability. Except the Father which has sent me draw him. And if the Father draws him, he's coming. I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets. And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. Every person in this world, God undertakes to teach. Every person in this world, God teaches by his grace and by his Spirit. I'm not talking about everyone I teach. I'm not talking about everyone you teach. I'm talking about everyone God teaches by the power of his Spirit comes to Christ. They learn of the Father and they come to him. Now look at chapter 10, John chapter 10. Lindsay dealt with this morning in the Bible class, verse 16. Our Savior declares here, other sheep I have. They're already His sheep. They were His before He came into the world. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Other sheep I have that haven't yet been called, who haven't yet been born of God, who haven't yet been taught of God, who haven't yet come to me. Them also, look at this, I must. Must? That's a strong word, right? Must? Must? Is it something that God the Son must do? Is it something that must be done? Everything He agreed to do. In covenant mercy, He must do. He's honor bound to do. He must do it, for it's His Father's will, His will, the Spirit's will. It's the purpose of God. Them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, every one of them. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, once we're born of God, once the sinner been called and saved by God's grace, it's by the power and grace of God that we're kept in Jesus Christ. Kept to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. For you who are kept by the power of God through faith. We're described as a people coming to Christ. To whom coming? To whom coming? I have come to Him. I am coming to Him. I shall come to Him. Believers are ever coming to Christ. We've come to Christ. We are coming to Christ. And by the grace of God, we shall come to Christ. And He sees to it. Turn back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 38, or 32 rather, verse 38. Jeremiah 32, verse 38. I said salvation, the salvation of God's elect, is a lifelong work. That which God began with us in time, God will carry on through all the days of our lives. If God gives you faith, God will sustain faith in you. If God saves you by His grace, God will keep you in His grace. If God brings you to Christ, God will keep you coming to Christ. He will do it by His grace. By His grace. Well, that's not what I've experienced. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Salvation is a lifelong work. It's not a decision. It's not a one-time experience. It's a lifelong work. Look at chapter 32, Jeremiah verse 38. And they shall be my people. And I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Watch this, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then He'll bear me safely over where my Savior I shall meet. Now, understand this thirdly. Though this glorious divine work of redemption and salvation is an eternal work, though it is a lifelong work through the providence of God, a continual revelation of Christ, a continual coming to Christ, a continual growth in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Though all those things are true, there is a day when God meets sinners in saving mercy. There is for every one of His chosen, for every one of His chosen, a day when God's going to save you. Oh, what a day that day is when God comes to save a sinner. What a day that day is when the Lord Jesus puts Himself in you. What a day that day is when God gives the dead sinner life and faith in Jesus Christ. There was a woman taken in adultery, taken in the very act. And the Pharisees brought her to the Savior. What a humiliation. Can you imagine her shame? Can you imagine how red-faced she must have been? Can you imagine how she stood there in that crowd of good, moral, upstanding, respectable, religious Pharisees? She stood there, everybody hearing the details of her lurid behavior. Can you imagine the shame? What a great day of grace. What a great day of grace! God arranged it just that way so she'd meet the Savior just that day. In that day. There was a blind beggar sitting by the road at Jericho. He'd been blind all his life. All his adult life, somebody had taken him by the hand, led him out to the roadside, and set him down where people passed by, and he held out his tin cup, and he'd shake it, beg for some money to go buy some bread. Because God appointed a day when Jesus of Nazareth would pass that way, and he called him by his grace. Oh, thank God for such blindness that leads to such a day. There was a day when the Lord Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria, because there was a Samaritan woman there, a woman who had had five husbands, who was ashamed to come out in the morning, come out in the evening when most women would come out and draw water. She came out in the middle of the day, hoping to be secluded and hidden away, and nobody'd see her so she wouldn't have to bear their stares and hear their gossip and hear their accusations. She came out hiding herself in the middle of the day because nobody else would be out there. And the Lord Jesus met her at Jacob's well and made himself known to her. So it is for every chosen redeemed sinner. There is a day appointed when the Lord God will meet the sinner, chosen by His love, redeemed by His Son. And you can mark it down. In that day, the chosen sinner shall be called to life and given faith in Christ Jesus. Well, preacher, can you make good on that? Can you show us that in Scripture? I believe I can. In fact, I'm sure I can. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel 16. Verse 6. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now watch this. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Now, let's look at a few passages in Isaiah's prophecy about this day. Look in chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. In that day when God saves the sinner, in that day when God comes in saving mercy, it is a day of Holy Spirit conviction. Look at Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Verse 17. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. When God the Holy Spirit comes to sinners in saving power and grace, he always comes to reprove and to convict. He convinces sinners of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And if you've never experienced that conviction, you've never experienced that salvation this book speaks of. If you've never known what it is to be convinced of your sin, convinced of righteousness finished by God's Son, convinced of judgment ended by Christ's sacrifice, then you've never experienced God's saving grace. Judgment always precedes grace. Before God fills, he always empties. He always humbles before he exalts. He always abases before he lifts up. You read in the scriptures, the Lord maketh alive and the Lord killeth. You never read that in scripture. It's not in this book. It's never written there. But doesn't God give life and God bring death? Yes, but it's never written that way. It's always written, the Lord killeth and the Lord maketh alive. Because you will never live until God slays you. It's not going to happen. Until you find yourself dead, you will never find life in Christ Jesus the Lord. When God visits his people in grace, whether it's in regeneration or in revival, when God visits his people in mercy, he humbles man and exalts himself. Ron read that passage in 1 Corinthians. Charity vaunteth not itself. Proud man loves to talk about himself and hear about himself and hear others talk about himself. That's our nature. Proud man loves to promote himself. We're taught to do it from our childhood. We're taught to promote ourselves. If God ever gets hold of you, if God ever comes into your life, things will be turned upside down, and you'll quit bragging about yourself, and you'll quit thinking highly of yourself, and your lofty looks will be brought low, and the Lord alone will be exalted in your soul, so that Christ alone is praised. Not yourself, not your will, not your works, not your worth. Christ alone will be praised. Turn to chapter 11 of Isaiah's prophecy. Verse 10. Here's the second thing. In that day, there is a gracious divine revelation. Isaiah 11:10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign, a banner of the people, to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. In order for us to have faith in Christ, Christ must be revealed in us. You cannot trust an unknown Christ. You cannot believe an unknown Savior. When it pleased God, Paul said, who separated me from my mother's son, to reveal his son in me. If you would know the Son of God, he must be revealed in you. Salvation always comes by revelation. By revelation. By special revelation. By personal revelation. The Lord God comes in saving grace through the preaching of the Word and makes his Son known. Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest they should see, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God should shine in the face of Jesus Christ on them. But for you who believe, to you God has caused the light to shine in your heart. And you see the glory of God. You see how that God is glorified. You see how that God is honored. How that God is magnified. How God shows Himself gracious and just. How that God shows Himself merciful and true in the face of the crucified Christ. Now, looking on Christ, the Lamb slain, I see how God can save me. Now I know how God can forgive me. The day that He speaks of is the day of revelation. Christ revealed in us. Revealed in us so that we are given faith in Him. Saul of Tarsus is cast down and bright light shines out of heaven as the noonday sun, and he hears a voice speaking from heaven, and that voice that spoke to him made himself known to him. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." That really happened? Yeah. That really happened. And when Christ reveals Himself in you, you will know who He is, and you won't need me to tell you. You won't need me to tell you. Well, Brother Don, whether I'm saved or not, you'll know. You'll know. If you trust the Son of God, you'll know. You'll know. You will find yourself by irresistible power working in you, believing on the Son of God, coming to Jesus Christ the Lord. You know who He is because He's revealed in you. In you by the preaching of the Word. Now, you say, "Well, that means preachers aren't needed." Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no. God reveals Christ in men by the preaching of the Word. We preach Christ crucified. And God sends faith by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But when Christ is in you, you know who He is. God reveals Him in you. Who are you, Lord? Who is this that suddenly has conquered me? Who is this that's broken my will? Who is this that's entered into my life? I am Jesus, whom you despised and persecuted, the Christ of God. That day, in that day, when the Lord God comes, He gives saving faith in His Son. Look at chapter 25, Isaiah 25, verse 9. I read this to the men back in the office a little bit ago. Saving faith. That faith that's spoken of in the Word of God. True faith. True faith. Is the gift of God. It's the operation of His grace. Faith in Christ is the result of Holy Spirit conviction and the revelation of Christ in you. Look at Isaiah 25, verse 9. And it shall be said in that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation." When Christ is revealed in the heart, faith is born in the heart. And faith born in the heart rests upon the revelation of Jesus Christ. This banner, this ensign is raised up. And to it is the gathering of the people. Faith gathers around the banner, revealed. In battlefields, raise up the banner of the troops. And that's a rallying point for the men in battle. They raise up the flag so the men will know where to gather. Christ Jesus is the banner. He's the ensign raised up, revealed to us and revealed in us. We gather to Him by faith, and His rest is glorious. His rest is His glory. Our rest in Him is His glory, and His rest on our behalf is His glory. We come to Christ, and coming to Him, Christ revealed in us. We can say with Simeon, "Mine eyes have seen Thy salvation." We say to Him as Thomas did, "My Lord and my God." We speak to Him as Paul did, "Lord, what will you have me to do? You see, faith in Christ is more than embracing the doctrine. It's more than making a profession. It's more than an emotional experience. It's more than coming to a position. Faith in Christ is more than reforming a misspent life. Faith in Christ is submitting to, trusting, and embracing a person. Faith in Christ is the wedding of your heart, the wedding of your soul to Jesus Christ, God's Son. Faith in Christ is the knowledge and the confident faith in, trust in God's darling Son. You've all heard of the Romans Road to Salvation. Let me tell you something about Romans Road to Salvation. You follow it and it's Romans Road to Hell. You see these folks standing on the street corner every Saturday morning trying to get folks to come to church, make a profession of faith, give you a tract, take you down Romans Road. Follow it and you'll go to hell. Ain't nobody ever been saved following their Romans Road to Salvation. Well, you know you're a sinner, don't you? The Bible says you are. Wages of sin is death, what the Bible says. Believe in Jesus, you'll be saved. Will you believe in Jesus? Yes, I will. Now you're saved. No, you ain't. No, you ain't. You've just been talked into doing something. You don't have any idea what it is. Don't have any idea what it is. No, nobody's ever been saved like that. Nobody's ever been saved walking down a church aisle, kneeling at an altar, saying the sinner's prayer. Nobody. Nobody. Not you, not your mama, daddy, not me, nobody. Nobody. Brother Don, that's all I've got. You ain't got anything then. You don't have anything. Just a delusion. Salvation is the knowledge of Jesus Christ in you. The knowledge of a person. A knowledge of a person that causes you to trust Him. Salvation is Christ. A person. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Paul said to the Galatians, I labor till Christ be formed in you. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Look at chapter 26 of Isaiah. Just turn over one chapter. Chapter 26. Here's the fourth thing. That day Isaiah is talking about. That day of God's mercy and grace, in that day, is a day of joyful assurance. Isaiah 26, verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. The righteous nation, God's holy nation, that keepeth the truth, all that believe the truth, Jesus Christ. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. And I know that he's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. He said with regard to his life. Now turn and look at it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. Look how this man spoke. And this you can be sure of. One or two things or so. David, either he spoke of confident faith in Christ, he spoke of the same self-righteous Pharisaism in which he was raised. One of the two. There's no in-between ground. Look what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to die and meet the Lord. Wow. What a statement. What a statement. How can you say that, Paul? I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. People talk about keeping faith. That ain't what Paul talked about. I believe God now, as I believed God yesterday, as I believed God 20 years ago, I still believe God. I believe it. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, I take that to mean, the Lord God will give me because I deserve it, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, Merle Hart, either you can confidently speak those words for yourself in faith in Christ Jesus, or are you looking somewhere else? This is not a vain presumption. This is not a proud, arrogant, self-righteous Pharisaic boast. He says, this crown of righteousness, the righteous judge will give to all who love his appearing at that day. Because we, believing God, have acceptance with God in his Son, perfect righteousness and perfect atonement. We have a strong city of refuge. That's what we read about here in Isaiah. We're surrounded with the walls of salvation. Towns used to be built inside walls. They tried to make the walls as impregnable as possible. Walls that no battering ram could knock down the gates. No ladder could scale. Walls that just could not be invaded by any enemy. Nobody could build such a city. But God did. God did. And we're surrounded with walls of salvation that cannot be penetrated by any. The purpose of God and the will of God and the power of God. We have entered into the gates of life. We're kept in perfect peace. Because the Lord Jehovah is our rock. And there is no rock like our rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 12. And let me read what I read to you in the beginning. In that day when God makes himself known to you, in that day when God reveals his Son in you, in that day when God saves you by his grace, in that day when God gives you faith in Christ, something happens that causes your heart and life to erupt in heartfelt praise to God Almighty, the Triune Jehovah, for his great salvation. And build its praise that never ceases. Never ceases. In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. How come? Why give God all the praise? Why extol his name? Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. Have you ever known what it is for God to be angry with you? For God to be angry with you? He's angry with the wicked every day, but nobody knows it until God comes in mercy. And when he's angry, he's about to turn away his anger. Oh, thou wast angry with me, but thou hast turned away thine anger, and thou comfortest me. How? Convincing me of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day ye shall say, praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Not mine, His. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Declare His doings. Declare His doings. His excellent name. Make it known in all the earth. He's done wonderful things. Do you know what God did? God saved my soul. You know what God's doing? God is saving me by His grace. Do you know what God's going to do tomorrow and the next day and the next day until my days are ended? God's going to save me by His grace. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name be glory and honor and praise for Your mercy and for Your truth. For Christ's sake, amen.